This is Town Square 49 Radio. For KSKA, I'm Dave Waldron. Today we're looking back at the top five Town Square 49 radio stories of 2013. How'd we pick our top five stories? I'm glad you asked. We figured it'd be best if we let you decide. So we tallied up your Facebook likes for each of our stories and came up with this list. Now, let's catch up with some of our favorite people. Our first story aired back in May. I interviewed Luke Mell, an extreme hiker, rafter, and skier. Mell's specialty is embarking on epic Alaskan adventures for little to no cost. When I last spoke with Mell, he was planning on hiking Mount Fairweather, so I asked him about it.
It was a four-week trip, and it was sunny like the entire 4 weeks in southeast Alaska, which I don't, like, probably nobody has ever experienced that before in like the history of the world.
And true to form, Mel spent very little, only about $600 for the entire month-long trip. He began cutting his costs by using frequent flyer miles.
I spent $2.50 on the ticket to Yakutat, and then I hitched a ride back from Haines to Anchorage.
But it sounds like Mel may have loosened his wallet a tiny bit. Instead of carrying all of their food for 30 days like they usually do, Mel's group had some of it dropped off by helicopter.
Had ham dropped and like steaks and cookies and icing, like cake frosting.
Oh my gosh.
It was awesome.
Is that a luxury you're used to when you're out there hiking?
No.
What was it like? Did you feel like, this is like car camping, man?
It felt a little bit like cheating, but in a really good way.
Our next story aired just last month, and it highlighted the work of the Alaska Farmland Trust, located in Palmer. I caught up with Louisa Yanis, who heads the AFT. She says this time of year is fairly quiet for them and for farmers.
You know, farmers are right now still kind of recuperating from the busy growing season and thinking about next season.
But there has been one major development for the AFT. They recently co-hosted their first indoor farmers market, and it was a huge hit.
And that actually spawned a winter market. So every Monday in Palmer from 11 to 7, you can go into the depot and you can buy bread. There's still some people that are selling some produce that have root cellars, but jams, jellies, chocolate. So it's really exciting that this event got the ball rolling on a winter farmers market in Palmer, which is the first of its kind.
Next up is a story that aired in March about a group of Girl Scouts that went by the name Electronically Overdressed Senoritas. These Girl Scouts sold cookies to fund their Lego robot constructions and tournaments. Back in March, they were on their way to compete in a national tournament in Carlsbad, California. I reconnected with team member Sabrina Sexauer to find out what was new. The first thing was their team's name change, which is now the Electronically Overdressed Survivors.
This year's theme for the robotics tournaments is Nature's Fury, and we thought Survivors kind of came with it because we'd kind of survived, this kind of group of girls had survived a lot in the past year with all the tournaments and everything, and plus it kind of has to do with like surviving natural disasters.
In addition to a new name, the girls also have a new robot. This is the newest Lego model, called the EV3, and it has some fancy features.
You can use the motors for moving arms. It also comes with a light sensor to sense any lines that are on the ground. And there's a sound sensor that kind of bounces off a sound, and it can sense what it really is.
The girls weren't able to bring home a trophy from Carlsbad, but they haven't let that faze them.
Well, we didn't win any awards, but we did gain a lot of experience, and we are going to take that experience and apply it to all of these new tournaments. And our plan, and then, well, our goal is to go back to Carlsbad and win a trophy, which would be really, really cool.
The survivors have completed their first obstacle in getting back to Carlsbad, winning their divisional tournament of 15 teams. Next up will be state finals, where if they do well, we'll lead them right back to nationals early next year. But even if the survivors aren't able to survive their grueling schedule, Sabrina says we could see a new Girl Scout robotics team representing Alaska in 2014.
What we've been observing as we've been going to the different tournaments is that Girl Scouts has really started implementing the STEM program, which is science, technology, engineering, and math, more into the other Girl Scout teams. And so we've actually been seeing more Girl Scout teams And we've also been seeing them winning more awards. So this, it's really exciting to see a lot more Girl Scout teams out in the robot, in the robotics competitions.
Our next listener-voted story from this year featured Todd Salat, or as many know him, the Aurora Hunter. Salat makes his living photographing and filming the auroras, and is currently in the midst of his holiday sales.
Well, we're at the Diamond Center Holiday Gallery. This is our 15th annual show here. We've been here since Thanksgiving, and we'll be here until January 5th, 2014.
Salat says this time of year is a little bit quieter for sales, but business is still good, and he's finally able to breathe.
Mostly people are a little bit in a calmer, more calm spirit, and we've always enjoyed that post-Christmas, over the New Year's phase.
This has been a busy year for Salat and for the Auroras. He's featuring some of his favorite work from 2013 tonight.
I have 4 new releases this year. Some of the best stuff of the year was back in March, that St. Patrick's Day display. Got some red auroras there. And then in April, got some purples over Denali. That's a new release. And then a good old sleeping lady shot. You know, can't go wrong with the Susitna there.
Salat mentioned in our previous story that 2013 was a peak year for solar activity, the cause for auroras. But don't worry if you've missed out on those northern lights. Salat says 2014 should be equally impressive.
So we have a few more years to go before everything starts going in back into the solar minimum phase. But there's always a chance for auroras in my mind.
And our final favorite story of the year involves a now-famous rainbow trout and the likely record-breaking 19 shrews that were found inside its belly. When I last spoke with Mark Lisick, a biologist at the Togiak Refuge, he was right in between interviews with the BBC and the Huffington Post. He still couldn't believe this tiny refuge in rural Alaska was getting all of this attention for a single fish.
Looks like there was somewhere around 95,000 views of that photo, which I guess is pretty amazing.
The photo, which showed the fish on a cutting board with the 19 shrews laid out in front of it, got hundreds of comments from all over the world.
Everything from yuck or ooh or I'm swearing off trout forever to just folks, you know, loving it and talking about different flies they're going to try.
And in what couldn't be better timing, 2 months after this story aired, the Seattle-based School of Aquatic and Fishery Sciences posted a report of stomach analysis on grayling and rainbow trout in the Wood River Basin, a location not far from the refuge. The school also documented how many shrews were found inside each fish they caught. The study spanned over 13 years, and there were many shrews to be found, but none came even close to Lisick's trout. The school's highest number was just 8. Here's the final thing I asked Lisick during our previous interview.
So this fish is kind of a celebrity. Has anyone named it yet?
No, but you're welcome to.
Now, I never came up with a name, but I thought I'd ask if anyone else ever did. It seems Shakespeare's been mentioned a few times.
Well, we don't have anything official as far as naming fish goes, but there was a lot of comments on either the articles or on the Facebook about the taming of the shrew, and then somebody came up and said, yeah, fish's name should be William.
So that's the clear front runner right now.
Yeah, it's been the only suggestion. So I guess it went.
And that's all for Town Square 49 Radio. For more stories about our community or to find out how to become a contributor for 2014, check out the Town Square 49 blog on alaskapublic.org. I'm Dave Waldron.